We're going to be in Acts chapter 22 if you want to get your Bibles open there. But while you're making your way there, just a couple of announcements. I wanted to remind everybody of our website store. You can find that online at calvarybrentwood.org/store, or go to our website up in the top, just click on the store button. And if, you know, the coffee mugs are available there. Some of the staff wanted some t-shirts and some polos and even a couple sweatshirts. We're going to continually add items to that website and that store. So just peruse there. Hopefully you can pick up something perhaps and help just promote Calvary Chapel Brentwood, that we are here to teach the Word of God and to encourage people to have strong faith in the Lord and to live their faith out loud. And so make your way there. And then a really big announcement is we are finding out and figuring out a way to be able to come together and have live services again. So hopefully within the next month, if everything goes as planned, we're going to begin on a small basis, be able to come on out to the church property and actually worship the Lord together live. So that more of that will be coming as this idea kind of came to us Wednesday, and we've been making plans to come together because we miss you guys. We miss being together. So we want everybody to know that we are making plans to come together. Also, be praying about that, please. But also the builders are going to be probably not too far off here, beginning to do construction on the house that's on the property. We've got our permit from the city, the town of Nolensville, and so we're very thankful for that. We're working out some of the last minute details with the builders, and they'll begin to start remodeling that home so that we'll be able to use it for fellowship in our church. And so, but until then, keep an ear out. We'll be sending out communications and let you guys know the dates and everything when we come together. But we're very excited about, we feel that the Lord kind of revealed to us an opportunity for us to begin to open up on a smaller basis. So excited about that. Acts chapter 22. We are picking up in verse 22. So Acts 22, 22. So if you want to open your Bibles there. This message this morning is one that I feel like as Paul is living his life and as Paul is dealing with the circumstances in his life, it reminds me a lot of our lives, the things that we deal with and the things that we struggle with. And so I really pray that this message speaks to all of our hearts. But before we get into Acts 22 and verse 22, would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for how much you love us and how good you are to us. And Lord, I pray that that's not just a fanciful idea. Excuse me. But Lord, I do pray that we do know that you are good and that you love us, that we're reminded of that. And through your Son, Jesus Christ, wow, I apologize. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we have life eternal. And Lord, I just pray that during this time, these crazy times, that we're continuing to be faithful to you because you are so faithful to us. I pray for those who are watching, and I pray for those who have a desire to live for the Lord, a desire to see you working in their lives. God, we are so grateful for the forgiveness of sins. We are so thankful for the sanctification and the justification that you give us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And may that always be our heart, Lord, that it's the things that we do, the people that we are, is all because of what Jesus has done. And so we pray that this time, as we spend in your word, as we've now worshiped you from our hearts, I pray, God, that you would speak to us clearly, speak into the situations and the circumstances that we're all dealing with, the frustrations, the desire to all of this stuff that we're dealing with in this world today to pass, this pandemic. Lord, we continually pray that you would help us navigate these times, but also get through these times. And we're thankful that you're with us. So God, bless this time as we study your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 22. You know, I wish I could stand here and say to you that if you serve the Lord faithfully, that you would have no problems. but I can't say that. I wish I could tell you that if you had a close, intimate relationship with God, that you'd be in total control of everything that's going on in your life. But that's not necessarily true. No, I wish I could tell you that when you walk with God, when you have when you've committed your life to Him and you live for Him, that everything that you planned out would work out the way you'd want it to work out. But that just simply isn't true, and I cannot say that. Just because we know the Lord, just because we walk with the Lord, just because we have a relationship with the Lord, doesn't mean that automatically and magically our problems go away or our plans go our way. No, that's not true. See, I've been walking with the Lord for nearly 29 years now. And over those 29 years, I've come to know the goodness of God. I've come to know the faithfulness of God. He has worked in my life, and I've seen Him do that amazingly multiple times. In my life, in my marriage, in my friendships, in my church, in the church that God has called me to, I've seen Him work. But things don't always go the way I planned them. Not for the church, not for my life. I mean, things just don't always go our way. We can have a plan, but sometimes that doesn't work out. And you've heard me say it many times. You know, God needs to guide our lives. God needs to guide our plans, not us trying to fit our plan into God's blessings. See, God's the one that needs to orchestrate our plans. And we can certainly have plans, and we can have desires, and we should. We should have them before the Lord. But it's up to the Lord to rearrange them. It's up to the Lord to change them the way He desires. And that's not always an easy thing. Things haven't always worked out in my life. Things haven't always worked out the way I wanted, and I found myself sometimes totally out of control. So what does that mean? Does that mean God is mad at me? Does it mean God doesn't, you know, is trying to challenge us and stretch us? Maybe yes, maybe no. He loves us. He loves you. He loves me. But our plans need to be put before the Lord so that He can bless them. See, circumstances haven't taken place in your life or in my life the way we wanted them. See, when I first got out of school, of college, I did a couple of years of a local community college. I got involved in an engineering company, and I began to work for this engineering company. And I enjoyed doing the work that I was doing. I wasn't a believer at that time. And then when I moved to South Florida, I got another job at an engineering company, and I thrived there. And I thought this was what I was made to do. And from there, I even started my own drafting business and began to work on my own and build my own business. Those were my plans. But somewhere along the line, the Lord found me, or I found the Lord, if you will. And He drew me into His family, and it changed my plan. It changed my perspective. It changed my trajectory in life. I just thought I would always be in some type of engineering type business. But God had a different plan. And that plan wasn't my plan, but it was definitely a better plan. And maybe you've found that in your life, that when your plans don't go your way and God gets His way, it turns out much better. See, His ways are always so much better. But the problem is, we are people that like to be in control, aren't we? We are people that like to hold on to the reins and guide our path. And that's when we can get frustrated, when we don't relinquish that control. And I'm not saying be lazy, and I'm not saying don't be engaged. No, we should work hard, and we should have plans. But we also have to make sure that we filter them through our Heavenly Father and provide them and show them to the Lord and say, Lord, will You bless this? Is this the direction You want me to go? In fact, I have several friends in my life right now that are switching careers. They're changing their path from where they were going at one time, and now they're going in a different direction, totally new territory. And these are the times when we need to rally around people and pray for each other and encourage each other to stay faithful when we're in that new season, we're in that new place. See, many times when things don't go our way, we blame the Lord. Lord, if only you had been here during this time, this wouldn't have happened. If only you had shown up, Lord, then these things wouldn't happen. Or, Lord, we have such a close and intimate relationship. Why don't you do something in my situation? I've prayed that. I know people that have prayed that. It's like, I'm faithful to God. I do what his word says. I'm faithful in giving and tithing. I'm faithful in those. Why does trouble come? Why does it happen? These are the things we say to the Lord. Lord, why didn't you perform a miracle? Because we believe God can do miracles. Maybe you need a miracle in your life. I've seen miracles in my life, and I've thanked the Lord for doing those miracles. But it still doesn't change my heart to sometimes say, God, why don't you do another miracle for me? Oh, God, why don't you do it? See, it's never the Lord's fault. But he's the one that should be leading our path. He's the one that should be guiding us. See, I've entitled today's message, When Your Plans Don't Work Out. When your plans don't work out. How do you respond? How do you react when you make a plan or you have a list and you begin to work out that plan or work through that list and things don't go your way? Do you get frustrated? Do you get angry? It's not a very pleasant experience. And I wonder, do we rely on the Lord when he changes the situation? We cannot be dogmatic in saying, this is what I'm going to do today. This is how I'm going to respond. No, we have to realize that we're creatures of habit and we don't always do what we set out to do. And so when your plans don't work out, that's when God's at work, I believe. Even when things go wrong, even when things don't go your way, I think it's God that can be working behind the scenes, orchestrating his will. See, Proverbs 16:9 says this, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. What a powerful verse. What a powerful scripture to remind us that, yes, we might make a plan, but it's God who guides it. It's God who orchestrates it. Are you one of those people that lets God move and orchestrate your life? Because God's way is always better. We say that, but do we believe it? I think there are sometimes when people are in such a bad situation or they find themselves in a very difficult situation, that's when they begin to think, you know, maybe God's trying to get me. Certainly God's trying to teach us something. But the reality is God has good plans for us. And it's actually in Jeremiah 29:11. Most of us know this verse by heart. I wanted to read it to us. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Many of us know that verse, but verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. There's a promise in the word of God that if we cry out to him and we pray to him, that he hears us. He hears us. And then verse 13 says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I shared that verse last week as well. Guys, God has good plans for us. And yes, life on this side of heaven can be difficult, but it's all going to make it worthwhile when we get on the other side. The Apostle Paul said, I don't even begin to compare the sufferings of this current age with the glory that is yet to be revealed. What a perspective that the Apostle Paul had. What a perspective to see that it doesn't even matter what happens in this life, because I know it's going to be greater in the afterlife, when I'm with the Lord for the rest of my life. See, as we remember what the Apostle Paul is dealing with in Acts chapter 22, he's kind of given his testimony. He's let the Jews that are coming against him know that how he was brought up and how he is trained under the Rabbi Gamaliel, how he was zealous for God, and how he even persecuted this new way, the church, the early church. He understood their position because he was just like them. And how he had this encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. He shared this testimony because he had a heart to reach the people for the gospel. And then he says, and I've been called by God to go and preach the gospel to Gentiles. And we're going to find out in this next section of Acts chapter 22, it was that word Gentiles that caused them to turn on Paul again. Oh, they were listening, they were paying attention. But when he said salvation could come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ and not through the law and not through circumcision, they were done listening to the Apostle Paul. And I look at this and I see the heart of the Apostle Paul is to do good. And man, things went really wrong for him. You know, he came to Jerusalem to share what God had done through the Gentiles. He even went and made a vow and paid the price for others who were making a vow to try to set things straight in Jerusalem, that Paul was not teaching against Moses, was not teaching against the law, but he was simply teaching about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And talk about when your plans don't go the way you want them to. For the Apostle Paul, his plans didn't go his way. But I truly do believe the Apostle Paul trusted his God, trusted his Savior with his life every step of the way. So let's look at Acts chapter 22, starting in verse 22. We read, "And they listened to him until this word," that word Gentile, "and then they raised their voices and said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live.' Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging, so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, 'Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?' When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, 'Take care what you do, for this man is a Roman.' Then the commander came and said to him, 'Tell me, are you a Roman?' He said, 'Yes.' The commander answered, 'With a large sum I obtained the citizenship.' And Paul said, 'But I was born a citizen.' Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him. And the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. The next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them." So just a few things that I see in this area of text. When it comes to when your plans don't work out, a lot of this chapter, Paul's plans didn't work out. Paul had a plan to share his testimony. He thought sharing his testimony would change the people's hearts, those that were accusing him, but it didn't. So as he comes here in verse 22, that they listened to him very quietly. In fact, he said it became very still and very quiet in a few verses before this. And so they were listening intently to this man who was chained, this man who was bound, that they thought was you know, an enemy of the Jews. And now he's speaking to them in Hebrew, and he's sharing his testimony. But when he talks about being a Gentile, coming to the Lord, that's when they stopped listening. That's when they stopped. This word Gentile was not one that they wanted to embrace free salvation to the Gentiles. They saw Gentiles as lowlifes. Only if they converted to Judaism would they be accepted. Only if they followed the law would they be accepted to a Jew. And Paul was saying, salvation is to all people. And that's the reality. The message of Jesus Christ is that everyone can come to the Lord just as you are. Aren't you glad to know that? I know when I got saved, it was nice to know that I didn't have to jump through any hoops. I didn't have to do anything but to surrender my life to the Lord Jesus. Anyone can come to the Lord, whether he's a Jew or a Gentile, a foreigner, someone who's rich, someone who's poor, someone who has high position or sits a low position. Everyone can come to the Lord Jesus. But it has to be through the Lord Jesus. Only through Jesus Christ is salvation known to man. But for the Gentile or for the Jews, that just did not resonate. And here I see the heart of the Apostle Paul and him thinking that if I could just share this, if I could just communicate this, then they'll embrace me. They'll understand where I'm coming from. Have you ever been misunderstood? Have you ever been, your actions been taken out of context? Have people ever looked at what you've done or what you've said and totally misunderstood? It's a hard thing to realize, even in friendships. I have a set of friends that I supported in their relationship, and this caused another set of my friends to stop speaking to me because I supported this other set of friends. See, sometimes we have to do what's difficult because it's right. We should support each other. We should be there for each other, for our friends. But for some reason, other people take it out of context. For some people, they just can't understand why you would support that. And it's like, because I know the character of these people. I understand their past. And to some people, they look at their past and they go, that doesn't make any sense. But I looked at it and I know their hearts and I know their relationship to the Lord. It's amazing what simple things can break and hinder a relationship. This relationship with these friends I had for many, many years. My early walk with the Lord was with this particular gentleman, and we don't even talk anymore. And I've tried reaching out to him. And he'll talk to me, but he'll never call me. And that truly does break my heart. Because listen, we're to love everybody. That's what Jesus tells us. In fact, in John 13:34, Jesus says this, "A new command I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." So Jesus tells us that we are to love other people. And when I read that these people listening to the Apostle Paul, turning to him on him so quickly, and notice what they said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live." That's such hatred and such rage came against the Apostle Paul. As Christians, we are called to love people. Hatred for others is not the Christian way. Hatred, listen, we should hate sin. We should hate the devil. We should hate darkness. But we should love other people. We should love all people, even those who wrong us. Jesus told us to love on those who hate us, love on our enemies. And that is one of the most difficult things to do. I have another friend who's actually in a court of law right now trying to reconcile between him and his roommate. And it's a very difficult situation that he's going through, so much so that he's left the place he was staying at with his roommate, and now he's living with his mom until this whole thing passes. And what I appreciate about this individual is that he's praying for his roommate. As much as his roommate is causing him harm and difficulty, he knows that the right thing to do is to pray for this individual. And that's what we can be doing about and to deal with the hatred that may be even in our hearts, or those that maybe hate us, is to be praying for them. Be a person of prayer. Be a person that takes your enemies and your trials and your difficult relationships and give them over to God and say, "Lord, please help this person. Help me with this person. Help me to respond in a godly way If we're going to fulfill that truth, that we're going to love our neighbors and love one another, then that's going to start by praying for them, because our hearts need to change. Listen, Jesus said the two greatest commandments were to love God and love our neighbor as ourself. And our neighbor is anybody. See, we live in some days and times right now where there's a lot of hatred. There's more division and more disunity than I've ever remembered in my life. Politically, socially, racially, so much division, so much hatred. And I would love to see our world change. I would love to see our world respect another human being. We are the human race. And we are called to, by God, to love each other. And how hard it must have been for the Apostle Paul, when he had a heart for them and a heart to bring them to salvation, for them to turn on him, just like they did for Jesus. So it's got to be no surprise to us as believers that people are going to come against us, that people are going to attack us for our faith. And please, please, please be careful as Christians to rightly represent God. As I've said in the past messages, we're to take a stand for Christ. But we got to take that stand in a loving way. We got to speak the truth in love, even when it hurts, even when it's difficult. I'm not a very confrontational kind of person, but when God puts it on my heart to share something with someone, I know it's for their good, and it's for my good too. And so we cannot live in a world of hatred. And Paul was dealing with this hatred from these Jews, yet he still had a heart for them. And that can only come by prayer. No. And then in verse 24, it says the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined by scourging. Scourging. See, scourging was a little bit different than being beaten with rods. It was a little bit different than the Jewish beatings that they would give. No, a scourging, literally, someone could die from scourging. Paul understood being beaten with rods. He understood with it actually says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. It says, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. At a night and a day, I'd been in the deep. See, Paul knew beatings. He knew being beaten with a rod. He knew what it was to take 40 stripes minus one. Because 40 would have killed you. But a Roman scourging was brutal. It was so brutal. I mean, it wasn't just a whip. It was a whip with shards of glass and metal, and it just ripped the skin of the accused back, assuming it would force them to speak the truth. And that was the thing for this commander. As he witnessed Paul speaking in Hebrew or Aramaic to the Jews, he didn't understand what he was saying. And for a while, it was a very peaceful conversation as Paul was sharing, a quiet crowd. But something happened where that changed. And he wanted to know what it was that caused them to turn on Paul so quickly. And what's interesting is, I'm sure once he found out that the Jews were angry at the Apostle Paul because he was talking about salvation for the Gentiles, who this commander was, he was a Gentile, how offended he must have been that this riot was because salvation couldn't come to his people, to Gentiles. How it must have really angered him to understand that that was the reason. It's amazing to me that we have a message, the message of the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, the message that gives life, that we would in any way try to hinder that message from reaching someone. That message needs to reach everyone. The message of Jesus Christ needs to reach every single person. Talk about when a plan doesn't work out your way. Here the Apostle Paul is sharing his heart, and now he's going to be scourged. Now he's going to be beaten to within an inch of his life, if not to death. And I can't imagine the Apostle Paul not standing in that situation and looking up to God and going, really? This is what I'm going to get? You know I'm here to serve you. You know I'm here to preach the gospel. You know I'm here to reach people with the truth. And now I'm going to be beaten? Do you know that it was illegal even for a Roman citizen to be bound like the Apostle Paul? So he could have stood up as soon as they put chains on him and said, hey, is it legal for you to do this to a Roman citizen? He could have taken that stand. But I believe the Apostle Paul was being led by the Holy Spirit and saying, okay, I'm in this situation, God, what do you want me to do? And that, my friends, to me is the key to dealing with difficult situations, to dealing with things that don't go our way. Okay, if it's not going my way, Lord, what is it you're doing? What is it you want to do? That's why I believe the Apostle Paul didn't profess to be a Roman citizen until later on, is because he was looking for God to guide him. As you're going through life, as you're dealing with things, it's our time to listen to God. Don't stop praying. Don't stop asking God to help. Don't stop asking God to make a way. But to also be listening how God wants to work in your life. And the hardest part is when it doesn't go your way. The hardest part is when things don't go the way we thought they would. And I know this is hard for people that are super hyper planners, right? That have the list. I have to do point one, then point two, then point three. Then I have to do these in order or my whole day is out of order. For people who plan, when their plans don't go their way, they get thrown off. But I believe for the Apostle Paul, and I believe for all believers, we need to be still, be patient in the place God has you, and listen to his voice. You know that verse, be still and know that he is God. Be still and listen to his voice. I believe the Apostle Paul was listening to his voice. God was at work in the Apostle Paul. And we'll see that as we go through the rest of this story into chapter 23. God's at work here. But Paul was in a tough place. And literally it says, as they bound him. Look at verse 25. As they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by. Not when he got the charge of being scourged, but as they were getting him prepared to be beaten, Paul let this process go a little bit farther. And no doubt he was saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? In fact, I think that's a wonderful thing for us to be saying on the regular throughout our day. Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? I will confess that some days I go through the whole day doing my own thing, living my own agenda, desiring my own path and my own plan. And I wonder how many times God's probably not trying to get my attention, say, slow down here, stop here, talk to this person. As your plans unfold throughout your day, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to how God will work. We have to be listening to what the Spirit says. We have to be listening for instruction from God instead of just moving forward doing our own thing. I'm thankful that God can work through our mistakes. Aren't you? Aren't you glad that God can take our mess and turn it into something good? But how much of that mess is our responsibility? How much of that mess is it our doing? We have to consider that. Lord, I've messed this up. I've made a mess of this circumstance. I've made a mess of my business. I've made a mess of my life. Lord, help me. I've made a mess of my marriage. I've made a mess of my relationships with my friends, with my kids, with my parents, whatever it may be. We've made a mess. God, help us. And those are the moments where we have to listen. And I believe the Apostle Paul was listening until that very moment where I think God put it upon his heart. I believe that with my heart. that Paul was directed by God to use his Roman citizenship to save himself. There was much work that the Apostle Paul still had to do. And I believe God orchestrated it. So here's the other thing. He was being strapped. He was getting ready to be beaten. And then the answer came. Sometimes, and I would even probably say oftentimes, it's not until the 11th hour that God gives the answer. It's not until the very last second that the answer comes. The resolution is there, and God shows up. It is our responsibility as believers to be faithful all the way up until the 11th hour. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. In these difficult and trying times, we cannot lose hope. We have to trust in God to the very last moment. Listen, I thought for sure this pandemic would have been long over by now, and we would be getting back to somewhat more normal lives. It's lasted a little bit longer than I thought it would, and probably many people have. And it's very frustrating, and it's very tempting to start going, I'm not wearing a mask. I'm tired of washing my hands. I'm tired of not being around people. But we have to also be diligent and to definitely be seeking the Lord's heart and how he wants us to respond as believers. Because it's our job in a world that's full of hate and full of division to do our best to reconcile, to do our best to love on people. I think it's the Apostle Paul says, as much as is possible with you, live peaceably with all people. Maybe it's James. To live peaceably with all people, as much as is possible for you and for me, as much as is possible for us to live a life of bringing people together. Who are the people that God's placed in your life that he wants you to reach? Maybe God's going to put someone on your heart this morning that he wants you to go talk to, reconnect with. See, the Apostle Paul, with that one word, they turned on him. And then the governor said, let's beat him. See if we can get the truth out of him. Maybe sometimes you feel like you're being beat up. Maybe sometimes you feel like you can't take another one. You can't make another trial. You can't take another bad day. You're overwhelmed. I would submit that sometimes when we get overwhelmed, it's God's way of saying, I need you to be still for a minute. I need you to stop for a minute. How often do we stop and just sit with the Lord? I know in my days, my weeks, you know, that can be very few and far between. But God wants us to be still and be silent before him so he can speak to us. And maybe because things are going your way, God's saying, I need you to pay attention. I need you to pay attention to what's going on and what I'm trying to do in your life. I hope that ministers to someone. The last thing we see here, after Paul says, you know, is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is Roman in verse 25? It was a rhetorical question. It was absolutely illegal. And the commander could be in a lot of trouble for doing what he did. It says in verse 26, when the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, take care what you do, for this man is a Roman. This changed the entire situation. Talk about when your plans don't go your way. This changed at the very last second for the Apostle Paul. And maybe God wants to change in your life. Look at verse 27. Then the commander came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman? He said, yes. Commander answered, with a large sum I obtained this citizenship. And Paul said, but I was born a citizen. And it wasn't that he wasn't believing Paul, but he was basically saying, for me to become a citizen, the commander was saying, for me to become a citizen, it cost me a great price. And that's really what happened. In order to become a Roman citizen, you either had to be born one, you could pay for one, which was expensive, or you could do a very good deed for Rome, and then they would give you citizenship. And so what the commander was saying is basically, man, the price of citizenship has gone down, because he's looking at this sorry-looking Apostle Paul who's been beaten by the Jews, who's been rattled and torn, and he's going, how are you a citizen? How could you be a Roman citizen? It's like, man, they're going to let anybody in, basically what he's saying. But here's the cool thing. God, in his wisdom, positioned the Apostle Paul to be born a Roman citizen so that it could be a useful tool for God to use later on in his life. And I want you to realize what God has done in your past, what God has allowed in your past, he will use to bless your future. All kinds of crazy things that God will use from your past. And he wants to use you. God wants to use you. And whatever your past is, however bad it may be, or however good it may be, God will use it for his glory. So just make yourself available. Just make yourself available to be used by the Lord. And maybe your past will come into play. Listen, some of the things that you're going through right now will be a blessing in someone else's life in the future. When I was young, back in the late 90s, something happened in my life that it was 20 years later that I realized how God had allowed that to happen in my life so that I could minister that same situation in someone else's life. Because when you're going through the trial, when you're going through a difficult season, you're like, why is this happening? And God's up there going, because I'm going to use you one day. So whether it's your education, whether it's your upbringing, whether it's your relationship with your family, whether it's your work situation, whatever it may be, God will use it in someone else's life. All of these situations, all of these difficult situations that Paul's gone through and that you've gone through and that I've gone through is available for God to use. Because God wants to use us. God wants us to help one another. And there is nothing more powerful than to be able to help somebody through a situation that you've been through. See, I believe once we've all experienced the grace of God, once we've all experienced the faithfulness and the forgiveness of God, that qualifies us to help others experience the same thing. But someone that may be struggling with drug addiction is certainly going to receive much more freely from someone else who has struggled with drug addiction and found their way through it. And so there's a sense of relatability. Listen, all sin is forgivable. All sin is available for God to use. Forgiven sin in our lives is available for others to know that God forgives sin. What a wonderful thing to know. I remember sitting down with a gentleman many years ago, and because I hadn't gone through a divorce, he disqualified me from the ability to minister to him because he's like, you've never been through a divorce. And I said, you're absolutely right. I've never been through a divorce. But I've been forgiven of my wrongs. I've done things that I found difficult to do because it was the right thing to do. And I was trying to encourage this man to not give up on his marriage. But he was already given up. And because I hadn't been through a divorce, he didn't think I could speak into his life or in the situation that he was going through. And maybe he needed someone else who'd been there to minister to him more effectively. But in my opinion, the forgiveness of God is universal. God has forgiven me much. And he wants to forgive you much. And we need to let this world that we live in know that. That God is still saving people and bringing them into his family. See, the commander came and said to Paul, you're a Roman. And Paul said, yes. And right then and right there, fear entered his heart. See, his plans weren't working out. He wanted to scourge Paul. But now he found out he's a Roman. He knew he couldn't. He couldn't. It's our job as believers to be sensitive to what God says, to be sensitive to the truth that's written in God's word, and to look to our past experiences and our walks with the Lord to be a resource for us to help others know the grace of the Lord. to know the grace of God. We shared this verse, we read this verse Wednesday night in our study in James, and I just love it. I wanted to share it this morning. It says, "So then, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." The thing I love about this verse is it says, be swift to hear. Be swift. Make that be the first thing we do, is hear from people. To hear their story. To make a connection. Swift to hear. Swift to pay attention. To really get to the bottom of the circumstance. To get to the bottom of the story. And understand where people are coming from. I think sometimes we're too quick to respond. Too quick to cast judgment. When God's saying, I just want you to listen to people. Just want you to sit and listen. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. How important it is for us to have an answer. To give an answer for the hope that we have inside. But to make sure it's speaking specifically into a situation that someone's going through. Now that we've listened to what they've been through. Now that we understand completely what they're dealing with. Maybe the word of God would encourage this person. Their reaction was immediate. Once they found out Paul was a Roman, the scourging, the plans for scourge stopped. In the 11th hour, Paul was saved and God showed up. Maybe for you, you need God to show up in your 11th hour. Maybe you need to realize that your plans aren't as good as God's. And that's the thing. Look at this quote. If your plans don't work out, don't worry, because God has better ones. What a wonderful thing to think about. That if your plans don't work out, that we don't have to worry, that God has a better plan. I'm confident that you've seen that working in your life. I'm confident that you have actually seen your plans not go your way, and then all of a sudden God reveals his plan and it becomes so much better. That's what we need to live for. We need to live for God's plan. We need to live for fulfilling his plan. See, as the children of Israel stood on the edge of the Red Sea with the enemy coming close behind, they had to trust that God had a plan. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were going to be thrown into a fiery furnace, their plans got thwarted, and God had a better plan. Maybe you have to walk through the fire. Maybe you got to go through the trial in order to see God there with you, in order to know that he's there with you and he's going to protect you. And all of the imprisonments the Apostle Paul will have in his life would have never happened had he been beaten to death. So God had a plan. So when your plans don't go right, don't worry. God has greater plans in store for you. That's living for the Lord. That's living for Jesus. And like I started out, I wish I could stand here and tell you that if you have a close walk with God, you won't have any problems. Or I wish I could stand here and say that if you serve the Lord, everything's going to go your way. If you do everything the Bible teaches, you do everything right. We live in a fallen world. And things are going to be difficult. But God is with us who believe. Greater is he in us than he that is in this world. And we are already more than conquerors in Christ. We already have the victory. We just have to walk through it and trust that God's going to carry us to the very end. So when your plans don't work out your way, trust that God's got a better plan. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you so much for reminding us, Lord, that you're always there with us, that you're always there for us, that you do have good plans for us. And I pray, God, for those who are listening, I pray for all of us who've heard this message, that we would be encouraged that you are at work behind the scenes. In whatever difficulty we may be experiencing, we know you're at work behind the scenes in our world, the things that we're dealing with in our country. the pandemic. And so, God, we just pray that your plan would be unfolded, that your plan would be revealed, because we know your plan is better. And I pray for all of us, Lord, that we would be quick to listen, slow to speak, and that we would truly listen for your voice, that we would listen for how you are going to use us and move us in a place that will protect us, and that ultimately you will get us to a place that is well-pleasing in your sight. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this time. Bless our day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.